Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, the Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, but briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paula. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. It reads, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is the word of God for the people.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my creator, my redeemer, and my sustainer. Amen. Amen.
So I missed you all last week. I missed you all as Pastor Hazel preached to you. And the good thing about Pastor Hazel coming to preach is that sometimes when you have a guest preacher, especially with what we're doing, and your blue bulletin inserts this week, I finally bought nice colored paper, so now it's the blue insert. We've been reading God's big story, right? We've been looking from the beginning of creation through the division of the two kingdoms, and every week we keep following the same story. And the really good thing about having someone like Hazel come preach is that I don't feel the need to rehash everything she said. Sometimes you get a preacher or a guest preacher or a laity who come in, and that's not the sermon I would have given. But with Hazel, it was actually almost identical to the sermon I would have preached to you, with one small caveat that we're going to look at in a couple of minutes. What I laughed about before I started is when we say, this is the word of God for the people of God, and how rote and how simple has it become for us to say, thanks be to God. But in this room this morning, the thanks be to God was a little lackluster, which made me laugh. Because the first scripture, the one that Sharon read, that was the one that when we read the text and we say, this is the word of God for the people of God, I don't know if we're thankful for that text. The vineyard text is a hard and difficult text, and the truth is there is no good news. We don't see good news until chapter 11. And I know that that's a little complicated for people who didn't read the text like I read the text, but it makes me laugh that we were kind of backwards. So let me explain why that made me laugh, and you probably won't get the joke, and that's okay, because I'm the nerdy nerd. That's okay. The text is interesting this morning. Hazel preached on Hosea last week. Hosea was a prophet who lived about 20 years before Isaiah. lived in the divided kingdom, and Hosea was a northern kingdom prophet. The same way as Elijah was a northern kingdom prophet, the sinful nation of Israel, Isaiah comes to the southern kingdom, the kingdom that had Jerusalem, the kingdom of Judah, that we know and talk about all the time. Isaiah was about 20 years after Hosea, but Isaiah's text is much longer. It's 66 books in the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters. And it starts in the beginning with the divided kingdom, and then toward the end we have, once Israel is in exile, that we have from chapters 36 to 66. And we're very familiar with the second half of Isaiah. We read from it every Advent. The second half of Isaiah is the one where we see the coming of the Messiah, that God will remember his promise, that the people of Israel will be made whole. And that's what we always talk about in Advent. But what's interesting this morning, because of where we are in the big God story, we're not there yet. We're in the first half of Isaiah. We're still in the divided kingdom of Isaiah, where Isaiah is preaching against the northern and southern kingdom, telling them that the Assyrians and the Babylonians are going to come and going to take over soon. And so it's in this space that Isaiah starts preaching to King Uzziah. He's a king of Jerusalem, a king of the southern kingdom. And they're at war with the Assyrians, they're at war with the Babylonians, and Isaiah is there on the battlefield preaching and prophesying to the king, which I always think, God bless the cabinet for not giving me that appointment. I'm happy at Portfolio 9 Methodist Church. Isaiah starts off and says, my beloved has a vineyard. And the text is actually quite beautiful that Sharon read this morning. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared out all the stones. He planted the best vines and the best grapes in that vineyard. He dug it up and cleared it away. He built a watchtower and cut out a winepress. He looked for the crop of these good, choice grapes. But it only yielded bad fruit, verse 2 says. And it's one of those interesting, what does the Hebrew word actually mean for bad fruit? Our English translation is being a little bit kind for what Isaiah meant. Another way, and another translation to read this is, it only yielded wild grapes. Sour grapes might be a better word. Rotten grapes would actually be more accurate. That God planted a vineyard. He put in the choice vines. He put in the very best of the vines in this vineyard. He took perfect care of the vineyard. But all there was sour, rotten, and disgusting grapes that came up. And so in verse 3, now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between God and his vineyard. What more could God have done? What more could God have done to produce good grapes? What more could God have done, because all there is these wild, sour, rotten grapes, when all God wanted were the perfect choice grapes and the choice vines that he planted? And so what do you do, and this is basically what Isaiah is asking Israel, what do you do when you spend all of your time and pour all of your soul into the planting of this vineyard, and all that comes up is rotten fruit? And Isaiah, and God through Isaiah, is very specific. In verse 5, now I will tell you what I am going to do. I will take away its hedge. I will take away its wall. The vineyard will become trampled. I will hold back the rains and let only weeds and thorns grow in that space. I will destroy my vineyard that I spent all this time working on. And then in case... I like Isaiah right now. In case no one understands what he's saying, Isaiah clearly says in verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. The men of Judah, or people of Judah, are the garden of his delight. He looked for justice, but only saw bloodshed. God looked for righteousness, but only heard cries of despair. Sour and rotten and disgusting grapes came up in the vineyard of God.
Righteousness and justice is what God expected to be planted, but all he received was bloodshed and cries of distress. I'm very happy that Hazel covered for me last week. And when I listened to her sermon over at Broadway, she retold a story in a way of explaining the Bible that I told at Bible study a couple of weeks ago. It's the way I explain it to youth group, basically, or summer school. And I think it deserves a good retelling because it's exactly what was happening in Hosea and exactly what was happening in Isaiah. Yes, those two words rhyme, and I'm going to keep saying both of them, and I apologize. The big God story that we've been talking about, a very simplified version of it, is God created humanity. He said, I love you. I'm going to take care of you. All I ask for you in return is to love me and take care of the world. Do all these things, but don't do one thing. And within like a week, they come back to God and they said, God, we did that thing. You know that thing you told us not to do? We did it. And God just looks at them and sighs and says, come on, guys. Really? I told you one thing not to do. So fast forward, we go through a couple generations and the people are there and God is teaching them how to live and says, do all these things, but don't do one thing. And yet the people come back to God within a week, within a chapter of our text and say, God, you know that thing you didn't want us to do? We did it. On and on and on throughout the history of humanity, this is the story of humanity and God. God tells us, don't do this one thing. Don't do these things. And all we do is we go back to God and say, God, we did that thing that you told us we weren't supposed to do. Sorry about that. And each time I think God just looks at us and shrugs and sighs and goes, come on, just don't do that thing and everything would be better. Stop doing that one thing and everything would be okay. A better way to explain Hosea is I like to think of it as a parent, and I'm not a parent, but a parent who's sitting at the dinner table with their toddler, and their toddler is throwing a tantrum saying, I don't want to eat spinach. And so the parent and the toddler are yelling back and forth, which one thing you're never going to win with a toddler. That's something I have learned from babysitting. And finally, the parent slams his fist on the table and says, fine. You don't want to eat spinach, you're going to starve. Is that what you want? That's not playing fair with the toddler. But that's what God does in Hosea. He says, you know what? You don't want to play my game? Fine, you're done. You don't want to eat spinach, you'll starve. So be it. But before he can walk back to the kitchen, God turns around with a plate of spinach, puts a little bit of butter, a little bit of salt on it. Delicious. And says, just eat your vegetables. That's what Hosea's text reminds me of, is a parent frustrated with his children, or her children. Frustrated that God can't get us to eat our vegetables. And so Isaiah's text is a little bit the same way. I built a vineyard. I spent so much time and energy and work making this as perfect as I can make it. It was beautiful. I lined everything up perfectly. I had a watchtower so I could watch for foxes and deer who would come and eat the grapes. I had water and I picked the best seeds I could buy and find. I did all of this work and the only thing that I get are wild, rotten, disgusting grapes. So I'm going to burn the whole thing to the ground. And thankfully, see, this is where, if we just ended the sermon with, this is the word of God for the people of God, I don't know if we could be happy about that text. That's a difficult text to hear. Thankfully, we catch up in Isaiah chapter 11. A text that we all know, that we've heard many times before, that a stump will come from the root of Jesse. A new branch will come that will bear fruit. And that's one of those texts that I look at the stump that's out front that the power company cut down. It's got a little cone on it. I stood on top of it. It's a great place to preach from. Just not in November, apparently. I've been driving on this circuit for 18 months now. About 16 months. So let's call it 18 months for easy
sick. So I drive from Broadway at 9:15 to here at 11, and every morning I drive down Route 57. Just the only way I'm going to drive the 5 miles to get here on time. And every time I drive down this road, I pass by the Franklin Township Municipal Building. It's right next to a cornfield, right across the street from another cornfield, and behind it's a cornfield. This is a rural place, folks. That's the way we like it. Amen, Shane. So right next to, right around the cornfield, right next to the municipal building, is a tree stump that the power company had trimmed down because of the power lines. Now, I'm one of those, and we talk about this at church council and trustees, can't they plant more trees elsewhere? Like, let's try some reforestation here. But this tree is a very neat tree stump. It's 20 feet tall, and as big as I mean, I probably couldn't hug around this tree. Huge tree stump that's 20 feet tall, but they cut it straight off the top at 20 feet. They cut off all the branches on the side of it. So it stands this 20-foot tall, probably 6 feet wide pole in the middle of a field. And I look at this tree stump, and I'm first off wondering, why in the world didn't they cut it down to you know, surface level like we have it here? I'm sitting laughing, but I'm just going to keep going. Why in the world didn't they just cut it down to the bottom? Why didn't they grind out the stump? I know that costs money, but why not? It would look 20 times better if they just spent an extra, like, half an hour on this tree stump. But what's interesting this morning, and I saw it as I was driving to Port Colden this morning, what's interesting about this tree stump is even though it's 20 feet tall, even though there's not a single branch, there's not a single leaf on the thing, what's been happening for the past 18 months is these little branches, no thicker than my wrist, as small as some of my fingers, these little branches are shooting out from this tree stump. This thing's 20 feet tall. It looks ugly as all get out. Why in the world did they do this? It looks awful. And every day, well, not every day, but at least once a week for the past 18 months, I drive past that tree stump, and I go, what in the world were they thinking? But thank God for this morning that I can finally use that tree stump in my sermon. That tree stump is Israel. That's what Isaiah is talking about. This ugly, worn out, 20-foot tall pole in the middle of a cornfield next to the municipal building in Franklin Township is Israel. It has been trimmed and held back. It has been destroyed, and no life should be coming from it. And from that 20-foot pole, ugly tree stump in a field, branches are coming off of it. And what's interesting in Isaiah chapter 11, and I found this interesting this morning as I was driving. Actually, I found it interesting yesterday as I was driving. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. From the stump of Jesse. I hear that all the time whenever we sing during Advent. I'm like, it's the only time I get to hear my name in a hymn. This is awesome. From the root of Jesse, a branch will come. From death, something new will come. God is cutting off the line of David, cutting off the kings, and saying something new is coming, and this branch is going to hold fruit. And that's the thing you don't see at that 20-foot pole outside of the Franklin Township Municipal Building. There's no fruit coming off of those limbs. Those branches are so ugly, and they look awful. But what Isaiah is saying is from this tree, from the tree of Israel, from the stump of Jesse, a new branch will grow, and that branch will have fruit. That God is clearing away the vineyard. He is holding back the rain. That he is clearing out everything and letting weeds and vines and thorns take over. But even from that death, there is new life. Even from the power company trimming back trees, there is new life. It doesn't look like what we'd expect. It's not even that pretty. But there is still new life coming. Verse 7 in chapter 5, Isaiah says, God looked at his vineyard and looked for righteousness, but only found bloodshed. looked for justice, but only heard the cries of mercy. And for that, God had to clear out the vineyard. And so my question is, which world are we living in today? Are we in the vineyard that needs its wall knocked down, that is full of rotten and wild grapes, and that God is coming to clear it out? Or are we in the world of the branch that is bearing fruit for a world that was already clean? Are we waiting for the branch of fruit to come back? Or are we waiting for God to come and clear the world of all of the dirty, sour, rotten grapes that are in this world? I turn on the news and I know where I go immediately. I'm from Ocean City, New Jersey, a small town down at the shore in South Jersey. The only time I see my region on the news is usually for Atlantic City, sometimes Cape May County. But this week, I turned on the news and I saw a high school nearby, Pleasantville High School. It was one of two schools this week that there was a school shooting in. One was in California, one was in Pleasantville. And the Pleasantville one, the one that was close to my hometown, it happened at a high school football game between Pleasantville and Camden. There was a shooting. Where God searched for righteousness, he found bloodshed. Where God searched for justice, all he heard were the cries of mercy coming from Israel. And so God clears away the clears away the vineyard and destroys the vineyard. Chops off all the limbs of the tree, turns it into a 20-foot pole in the middle of a cornfield. And then Isaiah says, but wait, for the branch that bears fruit is coming. And so the problem is, friends, as Port Colden United Methodist Church, the problem is we are an Easter people. We read our Bibles and we do this all the time, and that's what we've been trying to get out of this year. We read our Bibles in light of the resurrection of Jesus. We read Isaiah in light of the birth of Jesus at Christmas. We read this text and say, well, God is coming, and God will judge with righteousness, and God will preach to the poor, and God will forgive the debt, and God will free the slave, and that we are going to heaven. And so we read this text, and what happens all the time in churches, and I'm guilty of this as well, we say, okay, well then we are heaven bent. We don't need to worry about what's going on in the world because our salvation lies in a God who lives, that when we die, we will not taste death, and we will live forever in heaven. That is the message that gets preached in church all the time. But what we are doing this year is sitting and walking with the Israelites. That from the words of Isaiah this morning until the birth of Christ is 700 years of bloodshed that is awaiting Isaiah. 700 years until the birth of that child in that little town of Bethlehem. We have 2 months, and that's too long for some people. We have 2 months, there are already people decorating their houses. There are already people putting up their Christmas trees. There are already people, Starbucks already has their Christmas cups out. 700 years Israel waits for the coming of the new branch off of Jesse's stump. 700 years they have to wait. And my question today is, are we waiting with them? Or are we reading the text with resurrection glasses? Are we of the vineyard where God looks for justice and righteousness and all God sees is bloodshed and cries out for mercy? Or do we live in the world where there are branches that are bearing fruit that we can push the problem off? I think it's easy for us, and again, I do this all the time. I think it's easy for us to push it off and say, well, that's on God. I heard it this morning. We need to bring God back into our schools, and I think we do. But I think the problem is bigger and larger and more systemic than the fact that they don't allow prayer in schools anymore. I think the problem is society is broken. Society is disgusting. Society is gross. There are students that are in our schools, and I was one of them when I was in high school, that we did lockdown drills. It's the same with previous generations. They would do duck and cover drills from a nuclear attack. I don't understand why crawling under a little wooden desk was going to help you, but I wasn't alive at that point. We did shooter drills at school. What that means is they come over the announcements and come over the loudspeaker, and they say, we're in a level one lockdown. Teachers would lock their doors, they'd shut off the lights, and basically we pretend as if we weren't there. A level two lockdown, this is there's someone in the school and they are dangerous. The teachers would usher us to a corner of the room away from the door. We had bomb scares when I was in high school. But the lockdowns were terrifying. God looked down into the vineyard and was looking for righteousness, but only found bloodshed. Was looking for justice and only found cries of mercy. We are living in the time of the vineyard. We are living in the time where many people are hoping for the second coming of Jesus. Many people are saying that this is unsolvable, that only God can fix that. And yes, God can fix that. But remember, Jesus Christ came to this earth for one very specific reason: to teach us how to be better. That's what his message was. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come and usher it in. Not that we are going to be saved and live in heaven for eternity. That part happens too. But the fact that we are called to be salt, we are called to be light to a world plunged into darkness. Where sickness and illness and cancer are ravaging our bodies, and we are crying out to God, please stop it from happening. Where students are crying out to God, stop the violence. And it's in that space that we look toward Isaiah this morning and we see God's words. I looked for justice and only saw bloodshed. I looked for righteousness and only heard the cries of despair. And so what can we do? I've never felt more powerless as a pastor. I mean, I am pretty powerless, but I can marry people. That's pretty powerful. I started a new family. That's awesome. But what can we do? Because the truth is, our thoughts and prayers aren't doing anything. The truth is, we want to blame the schools. We want to blame society. Put God back into our schools, we say. I've shared that post on Facebook. We want to pray, we want to send money, we want to fix the solution, to fix the problem and offer a solution, but we're not standing up and doing anything. A new branch will come, Isaiah 11 writes. A new branch will come, and that branch will bear fruit. And I think the problem with Christians, and I think my problem, is that I'm expecting Jesus to be the one to bear fruit. I'm trying to point over everyone, I'm sorry. I'm expecting Jesus to be the one bearing fruit. I'm expecting someone else to take care of the problem. Who am I and what can I do is what I cry out. But in a world where we look for righteousness and we look for justice, and all we see is bloodshed, and all we hear are cries of students and teachers crying out for safety, I think we have to do more. I think we have to be branches that bear fruit, not just for this issue, but for hundreds of issues. I think we have to be people that bear fruit because we are Christians, because we are Methodists, because we are human beings, and our hearts break for these stories as well. God is tearing down the vineyard, holding back the rain so the weeds can take over. That is not where we want our world to end up. A branch will come that will bear fruit, and we will eat that fruit and be able to bear fruit ourselves. How can we act better? How can we help our children? How can we help ourselves? How can we help society? We can't wait. We can't wait the 700 years that Israel waits for the birth of Jesus. We can't wait the 2 months until Christmas. We can't wait for our politicians to get their act together. We have to do something now. We have to be branches that have fruit today.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.